Okay, we're back with the Gemara Kufnun Dalet Amud Al for the very first line. The word of Rav Zvid Matan Hachi. So again, we had a machlokas. What exactly what Rabbi Bar Chama was discussing with the lav of mechamer of leading an animal on Shabbos? Is it an iser deraisa or a chayav skila, or maybe just a lav? So the Gemara says Rav Zvid Matan Hachi that Rav Zvid taught the ruling of what Rabbi Bar Chama said the following: a mechamer achar behemer b'Shabbos, someone who leads an animal on Shabbos, b'shogeg inu chayav chatas b'mezis chayav skila. So here he's making a chilek in shogeg. He does it not on purpose. In this version, Rabbi Bar Chama accepts Rava's first taina that the issue is only going to be chayav achatas if he himself does the action and not the animal. However, he still thinks it would be chayav misa. So he says that you're not going to be chayav chatas. However, you would be chayav misa because of the fact that we say Rashi says that we're going back to the fact that you're comparing you to the animal, and so therefore we have the reason to assume that you'd be chayav misa based on that. Based on that principle. So now the Gemara has a question, the Rava has a kasha on this shita. Rava says, Mesiv Rava, Amechalalas Shabbos, Bedavar Shachayv Anshkotu Chatas. Someone who violates Shabbos is something which is going to be subject to a Chatas when done by accident, Chayav Anshkotu Chatas. So then if you do it on purpose, you're going to be Chayav Misa. So the Gemara says, Ha in Chayav Anshkotu Chatas, in Chayav Anshkotu Chatas, but this would imply that if someone is not going to be Chayav Chatas, when doing something by accident, that implies that that's the general rule, that you shouldn't be chayav misa either. So how is it that you want to make a chiluk and assume that you are not going to be chayav achatas, yet you are going to be chayav misa? So the Gemara now says, Mik tani, did the Mishnah really say ha ein chayav? And the Gemara is rejecting Rava's inference in the Mishnah. The Gemara says now, the Mishnah's lashon is not that it's ein chayavin. Hachikamar, this is what the Mishnah says, davar shechayavin al shkigos achatas, that something which is going to be chayav achatas when done by accident, chayav zonos skila, is always going to be chayav misa. But there are examples of something which is not going to be chayav achatas when done by accident, and yet you would be chayav skila umayne mechamer, and that would be mechamer. So you therefore that would be leading the animal again, and therefore you would reject the raya from the lashon of the Mishnah with Rava, and you wouldn't have a problem. Now the Gemara says Rava achua de Rav Mari bar Rachel. So over here we have Rava, the brother of Mari bar Rachel, and some assume that it was Rava who was the father of Mari bar Rachel. Who is this? Well, let's maybe we'll just continue the Gemara a little bit, then we'll mention who is this this person. Lishna Basra, according to the later version, the second version over here, Kasha ha de Rav Achshrei the Rav Mari bar Rachel. But according to the second version, it seems to be difficult why Rav had to declare Mari bar Rachel fit, Umayna reports of Bala, and made him the in charge of the, he had a special position in Bavel if his father was Yisrael. So now what exactly is going on with this Mari bar Rachel? So Rav Mari bar Rachel is always mentioned through his mother's name. He's always mentioned Rachel, the son of Rachel, as opposed to his father. So why is that? So there's different, the Gemara in Ksubas relates that Shmuel's daughters were taken captive. And so over there it says that they were taken captive, but Rashi in different places assumes that they were raped there, and then they had the child who ended up being Mari, and then they later converted. The Isser Gura, he later converted after he already had them. So halachically, then that means that their father was not Jewish because they raped them while they were not Jewish. That is what Rashi seemed to assume in different places. However, Tosfos has a caution because the Gemara over there actually assumes that the Gemara in Ksuba seems to imply that they said Pesha Aser, that they weren't ever Nivellas. So exactly how they get around that is difficult. So they assume that there's other explanations that we potentially could say that maybe it just means that his mother was more chashiv than his father. But either way, according to the different versions over here, so the question would be why exactly is the problem to be created a chashiv a position? So the halacha is that based on the Gemara in Kedushin, right? But the Gemara learns it out from the pasuk that says me'achicha when it talks about appointing king. Tassim Mechal Melech, by appointing Kim, it says only Me'achicha. So it's the lashon of Tassim, the Gemara learned out, that only it can be from someone who is a child who of a mother and father who are both, at least one parent rather, so of a non-convert. If a person is a convert, you're not allowed to be appointed of that chashuv position that would rule over anyone. So now, over here, so if, the Gemara was pointing out now, if that this person was the son of Rava, so then he was a full-fledged Jew. So why would there any be a declaration of Rav to say, oh, he can be that Rav Mane Persa Bavel, that Rav appointed to Chashev position ruling over people in Bavel. That wouldn't be a Shaila if his father's Jewish. If his father wasn't Jewish, then it would be a Shaila, because then maybe it's not a problem of Me'achecha, then the Chiddush would be that maybe because of his mother it would be enough. So that's the two Girsas. Tosos and Rashi also seem to be bothered by having the fact that we even have this second, the Hemshech of the Gemara of the Amrele Avuah Rav Mar Baracha and the whole Lishna Basra. This whole thing, Tosos and Rashi take it out. They're bothered for a different point. So either way, we just explained exactly what was going on, Lafi, the way we wanted to try to explain it, that's who Mari Baruchel was. And now Gemara says, so then, according to the second Lishna Basra, the Gemara has a question in our version of Ergirsa of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, so the Gemara asks again, why is there a Shaila, though, according to Lishna Basra, that he was the son of Rava, if his father was fully Jewish, there's no Shaila over here. So the Gemara answers, Dilma Trey Mari Baruchel Hava. Maybe there was two people named Mari Baruchel, and this person, there was two Mari Barachos, and one of them is going to be the one who had a Goyish father, and this one was the one who was just fully Mari Barachos. It was another person who had a name, his mother was Rachel, and his father was fully Jewish, and it's a different person over here. That's the Gemara says. Now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, what was this point? So he would teach the ruling Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan Lifter, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, to say that the person is always going to be exempt, and he would say, that someone who leads the animal on Shabbos is going to be entirely exempt on Shabbos. But Sholeg lo mechayev chatas. If he doesn't on Shogeg, he's not going to be chayev chatas. So even here, according to this version, we have that both your pater mitzkila, you're not going to be chayev skila, and you're not going to be chayev as well on the iser of on the chatas. You don't have to bring a korban chatas. So the Gemara says, why not? Because the Ukshikol Torah Gudel Avodah Zarah, so that the whole Torah is compared to Avodah Zarah with regards to the Lav. Amazing Nami L'Machayev. So that's why if you do it on purpose, you're not going to be Chayev. This not as we learn the Mishnah V'chal B'Shabbos B'davar Shechayev and Ashkadol Chatas V'azon Askila. So he says that the Mishnah tells us that someone who violates Shabbos is doing something that is going to be Chayev Chatas when you did it unintentionally. And then when you do it on purpose, it's going to be V'azon Askila that when you do it on purpose, it's going to be Chayev Misa. That's only when that example. However, if you're not going to be chayav chatas, then ein chayav zonos skila. Then he ended up going with this rule that if the rule is if there's a chatas, you're going to be chayav misa. There's no chatas, you can't be your chayav skila. Ein chayav skila with regards to ilchos Shabbos. Belav na mila mechayav. So therefore, he's not going to be chayav even a lav for a chiddush over here. Is not only is he not going to be chayav Misa, rather, he's also not going to be Chayav Malkus. You're not even going to be Chayav Lashes. You're not going to be Chayav Lashes. To have a Lav, Shnitzel Nazharas Misa's based in, because this Lav is something that is used as a Azhara. Azhara is used the warning. The same Pasuk with the warning is telling you that you have the warning for Misa, and any Din Dereisa, any Lav that you get punished for, it needs, the Torah needs an Azhara, and it needs a actual punishment, the Onesh. You always need an Azhara and Onesh. So the Azhara, if the Azhara is something which is a Nisan, the Misa is based in, which is something that is also telling you that you're going to be chayav Misa, that is something which you're not going to be chayav. The Gemara just seems to be that you're going to not be chayav for Malkus either. You're not going to be chayav Lashes, and where Malkus talks about this, and where Baba Kama talks about this. That is Shitas Rashi and Tosfos, that we have the pasuk of Lo Sasei Kol Melacha, which is going to be included in the fact that you're going to be Chayav Skila, and Mechamer is included in that, and therefore you should not be Lokeh. So the Rambam has a different shot, though. The Rambam writes that the fact that you can do Harisha, you can do plowing with your animal and still be Chayav Skila, that Gufa is the Lav, that you're going to be Chayav Skila, and that is going to be an Isser Dereisa, which you're Chayav Misa for, that is the Lav Hanisan Lazarus Misa based in, and actually that shot would answer nicely the fact that Tosfos is bothered by the fact that over here in the sugya of Chashat Tzidkas, I'm not going to get so much into that sugya so much, but he says that only this might not be a problem of Azhar of Lav Hanisan Azhar's Misa's Beis Din, because here maybe because of the fact that Mechamer is a different enough of a different Lav to assume it's not necessarily Nechlel in the whole Hilchos Shabbos. So maybe according to Tosfos, it could be that Tosfos was bothered by this. That the Fidah Rambam would answer that Tosfos Kasha, the Fidah Rambam's shot in the Gemara over here. So the Gemara now either saying Ein Lokan Lav, you're not going to be chayav any lashes when it's a din of Azharas Misa's Beis Din. So therefore, in this case, since it's a nitzan for a death penalty if violating malacha, so then if you do mechamer, you're not going to be chayav lashes. That is what the Gemara learns out of the Rabbi Yochanan wants to suggest. So the Gemara now says, V'afilo l'man da'amar lokeh. Even according to the one who says that you are lokeh, so even according to the next word, right? So that even according to the one It says you would be chayiv. The Gemara Makos has this machlokas whether maybe there are those who hold that a lav and isan on haris mitzvah based in that something is generally for the prohibition of Shabbos is going to be chayiv misa. So then, even according to him, so the Gemara now is suggesting that you could assume that it wouldn't be chayiv. Malchus, why not? Because if the Torah wanted to tell you that you were going to be chayav Malchus, then the Torah should have said, Lo sasekel malat lo malacha uvehem techa, that you shouldn't do malacha and your animal, I would understand the pasuk of the fact of ata lamale, lo sasekel malacha ata uvincha uvitecha uvehem techa. Why do you have to come into ata? Why do I need the word you, that you should say you and your animal? Why do I have to say the word, the extra ata? I already have learned that it was you and your animal. So the extra ata seems to be superfluous in the where it says, who knew the Mechayev? It is going to be him that does a malacha is going to be chayev on Shabbos. Behemtol Mechayev. However, if it was from his animal, and the Torah simply said that it would have that you did the animal to do malacha, it would have been enough to just say lo sasekel malacha uvehem techa. The words ata is now telling you that there is really two separate cases. That ata is telling you that you can't do the malacha yourself, and also your animal can't do the malacha as well. But the fact that the Torah is making a chilik between the two cases, the Torah is implying to us that there is a chilik between them ladina and. Therefore, if someone does a malacha by yourself, that is going to be chayav. However, if the animal does a malacha, that is not going to be something which you'd be chayav malchus for. The Ramban just adds further, he explains that when the Torah is telling you that when it comes to the isra of a malacha of mechamer over here, and the isra of, sorry, the animal doing malacha for you, also in mechamer, so that the Torah seems to be bothered by the most is not the actual malacha, but rather the fact that the Torah is telling you that the actual action of the case is that the fact that the animal does a malacha for you is the issue. That's the issue. If Mechamer is creating the animal to do malacha for you, that's the ikar chiyuv over here. And the fact that you're in helping the animal to facilitate that, it's the result more, not the actual action. If it's a result-oriented thing and not the action, that should be more of a reason also you shouldn't be chayav malchus. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting over here. Okay, so now we finish that part of the Mishnah. The Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. When a person reaches the outermost courtyard of the city and he finishes unloading the donkey, the lacha was that he's allowed to take off any kelim which are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. However, the kelim that are not allowed to be moved because they're mukta, you're not allowed to move them yourself. Rather, you have to do it minatzad, right? You have to under the ropes. That's what the Mishnah had told us. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, that if his animal was loaded with glass utensils, maybe karma kusas and you don't want them to break. So you're allowed to put pillows and cushions underneath the animal in order that they're going to go and land on these pillows and cushions and not break. And so again, you'll allowed to be open the ropes, and that was going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, but why is this even a question, though? This is glass kalim or something which is mutter to move with my hands. Why do I need to do that under the ropes in the first place? You're allowed to take any utensil which is allowed to be used in Shabbos, like gas, clay, I'm allowed to drink with it, whatever kalim the Gemara's Havaminer is right now. Let's assume it's a cup or whatever it might be. I'm allowed to drink a glass cup on Shabbos. I'm allowed to use whatever purpose. It's something that's not muksa whatsoever, so I can take it off without even doing this side. Why do I even need the ropes? Why do I need to use the ropes? So the Gemara says, Kigamar Rav Huna, no, Chiddush of Rav Huna was Bekarne de Umna. We're talking about the glass type of the way that they would store the blood of a bloodletter. So the bloodletter, again, they used to have, bloodletting was a thing that people used to assume was healthy in the times of the Gemara. They used to take the bad blood out of your body. So when you put it in, and it would go into this glass, to carry out the blood, that is something that they used to have, and the lochazel, which Rashi says, is muchas machmas mius, it's disgusting, and this blood thing, no one wants to use that kli anymore, and therefore they're kalim that are going to be mukta, and therefore you're not allowed to directly touch them on Shabbos. You can only do them in atzad, is by loosening the ropes and then allowing them to drop on their own. The chiddush of Rehuna then is that you're allowed to put the pillows and the stuff underneath if you don't want this to break. So the Gemara now asks, is that really going to be mutter though? Now we're going to take this chiddush to the other side. Before, we thought it was no chiddush whatsoever. Now we're saying it's too much of a chiddush. This chiddush seemingly is very problematic. But if that's the case, that you're allowing the phone, you're going to be nullifying the kli. You're going to be nullifying the utensil, right? We saw Rashi seems to give two different reasons in different places that when it's domed asoser, that it's a malacha to create a, to ruin a kli on Shabbos. is an Israel, it looks like you're destroying it because you're not allowed to move it anymore on Shabbos. You now created the mukta status over there, and therefore, since I'm not allowed to move it, I am not allowed, I have looked like I'm a domet to doing something that looks like destroying on Shabbos, and that's why it's usher. Rashi gives another explanation in a different place that seems to be similar to bone that I'm creating. If I'm doing bone and I'm creating, so then, how is that? Because I'm not allowed to move something anymore, I've now fixed it in its place. The whole idea of bone is making something permanent, so here it looks like I'm creating something permanent also, because I can no longer move it anymore, and I'm fixing it in its place. That looks like creating on Shabbos, but either way, that is a problem on Shabbos to mevata kli mechano. So that, like an example, that might be potentially shaila. Actually, comes up in Eretz Yisrael sometimes is that if you have a garbage that's fully clean, like they used to move, like they move the garbages sometimes, those portable garbages with the wheels on the bottom in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have one, they always empty them right before Shabbos, and most of Shabbos they take them away. So that is a very nice thing. They started using, there's a lot more garbage pickups in Eretz Yisrael. So the Friday afternoon and Shabbos day, they take away all the garbage. So Friday afternoon, you have nothing there. So the shaila I saw brought down, and some of the achronim on the ask, is that if it's fully clean before Shabbos and you put in the first garbage, isn't that mevatel kli mechano? If it's a functioning, movable garbage thing, which is clean right now, and assuming it's not smelly, so then when you put in the first garbage, it's now mukta makos meis. It's disgusting. You're not going to move it, and you've created the mevatel kli mechano. It's not shaila, but that's something that's interesting that comes up about mevatel kli mechano. Either way, the Gemara now says, so the Gemara wants to give an answer. So what bishipule zutris? Who is referring to these small sacks over here? Because of their small size, we're assuming that they, Rashi points out, they can be rolled off the pillows and cushions of Shabbos without actually being touched directly. If there's anything, we tilt them on a tzad, and if you have tilt them on a tzad, it's not going to be problematic. So that's what Rashi points out. Again, you're doing it gently so they fall on the ground, that you're not being, it's tilt them on a tzad, it's going to be mutter. Okay, so then, so the Gemara now says, then what comes out over here is that you don't actually have a problem because we're saying that maybe they'll slide off of them after. That's a shaila exactly. What's the Gemara Mataritz? So we're assuming that maybe the Klamvata Kumichano is where the utensil is going to be usher for the entire duration of Shabbos, because here it's only going to fall onto them for a second to these pillows and then roll off. If they're going to be rolling off, then it would not be the issue. And then we see the Mevata Kumichano is only for all of Shabbos. So the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says, Mesvei of a kasha from the Brisa. The Brisa says, Haisa Bemta Tuna Tevel Ve'ashishos. If the animal had, it was carrying a load of produce which had not been taken off Truma Meiser yet, so it's Tevel. Something is Tevel, it's mukta on Shabbos because there's no use for it. You're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Not give it to your family. Don't do anything with it. So it's going to be that v'ashishio. So this type of glass bars matir is achavale masakin noflin. Matir olam masakin noflin. That the ropes. You loosen the ropes, and then you could let the sacks fall to the ground. Even though the glass bars are going to break by that, so that is what the Gemara says over here. And the Gemara implies, though, this Brisa implies you're not allowed to unload the sacks directly, which is going to have the thing because it's mukta, and not even the animal because the Gemara is going to explain later. But according to Rav Huna, though, he should be allowed to put the pillows down. The Gemara implies you have to break the glass. Why don't I put pillows down and not break the glass things, these glass bars that are with my tevel over here, my produce that didn't take off Truma Meiser? So the Gemara wants to answer. The Gemara says, Hasam bikusla, that there in the Brisa, when it comes to the glass bars, referring to the slabs of glass, that these are considered muksa and they're too large to be rolled off the pillows and the cushions. That's a chiddush over here. That it must be that they're big enough that they're not going to fall off and they're going to stay there for duration of Shabbos, and then that'd be mevatel kli mechano. So therefore, since mevatel kli mechano, you would ruining their status for the rest of Shabbos, that would be usher. When it came to our case, the chiddush of Ruhuna was smaller glass things, and these smaller glass things would roll off the pillow afterwards, in which case you would not have the issue mevatel kli mechano of the pillows. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya for this. The Gemara says, Daikonam Nikatani. Also, this actually seems to be meduyak. It seems to be indicated in the brace itself. The lush on the brace, when you look at it carefully, it seems to imply like Rav Huna. Dumya de Tevel, because the fact that we made that these glass bars are similar to the produce that doesn't have Truma Meiser taken off, again, the Tevel, so it's produce that's mukta, ma Tevel, de lo chazele. So we know that when it comes to produce that didn't take off Truma Meiser, it's considered useless to you on Shabbos, because as we pointed out, you're not allowed to give it to the Kohen, you're not allowed to take it off on Shabbos, because, you're not allowed to take off Truma Meiser, because that's misak. And that's similar to tikkun monet, so that's why you're not allowed to do it. I think it's only derabanan that you're not allowed to take off truma meiser. Afachanami lo chazi leisa. So over here, when it comes to the reisa, when it comes to the glass bars, it means that the kind of glass bars that are useless to you on Shabbos, meaning that they're going to be mukta, and therefore they're going to stay that way the rest of Shabbos. That is the diuk of the reisa. So the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says, "Umai afal vishem mishtabrim." But though the reisa uses the lashon, emphasizing what is allowed to move the glass items, even if they fall off, they're allowed to break. Apparently, we see that the loss of the glass is something which should tell you that you should be allowed to not have the problem of vatal kli meichano. The Rebbe is telling you that there is no. It seems to be that there would be a potential heter when they're not going to when they're going to break. So are you allowed to be meichano or not when they're going to break? So the Gemara says ma'od the same. Have said mu'at nami chashashu. No, there's a difference though. You would have thought that the fact that Rabbanan are going to be concerned with even a small loss. So that is only the case that we're going to say that it's aser. So then mevatam chichano is not going to apply to smolos. Kamash malan. The chiddush over here is that the rabbanan are saying that it's aser even for the sake of the minimal loss, and we are going to be machmir. However, so that seems to imply that only when there is a hefsed muat, the Gemara's lashon is meduyak like this, right? The Gemara says that only hefsed muat seems to be mevatam kli meichano is problematic. However, if it's a hefsed meruba, if it's a major loss, then it could be that there would be a heter to put these pillows and cushions underneath. That's what the Magen Avraham is medayik, right? It seems to be clear from the Gemara. That is a shaila, though. I think the Mishavura, I think, if I'm not mistaken, no, maybe that is accepted. I don't remember. But I think that is that the Magen Avraham does go like this. Pshat. So now the Gemara continues discussing unloading muksa from an animal. The Gemara says, "Now Tanya, we learn about it." So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Shimon ben Yochai said, "Right, both of the Zohar, Haisa behemta teuna shlif shel tevua. If his animal had it was carrying a load of a sack of produce. Rashi points out it was tevua that was not taken off truma meisher yet. Maniach roshu tachtea, you should put your head under it, misalkal tzaracher, and you could push it up to the other side, v'u nofel ma'alav, and then the sack will fall off by itself. So over here, we're assuming that it's mukta, we're allowing you tiltum min atzad. That's what we saw before. Tiltum min atzad is something, is mutter to move it, and that is going to be a heter that we saw for certain circumstances. Rabbi Yosha gets into it. Isn't only mutter for tzorech davar ha-mutter? So over here, so is it a shayla? Is it what itself? What did you want? Did you want an animal? Okay, so that's a shayla. But either way, the Gemara says Chamorah. No, the Gemara Brisa continues Chamorah Shabbos Ben Gamliel Laisa Tuna Dvash Velora Tela Porka Ad Motzi Shabbos and the Motzi Shabbos Mason. Whether it's a story then where Ben Gamliel had a donkey that had it had honey on it, and he didn't want to unload the honey until Motzi Shabbos. And what happened was the donkey died from carrying the heavy load all of Shabbos. So the Gemara wonders now, but why would Rabban Gamliel b'chal b'machmer run into not know tell the alkeilim and he tell them honey is perfectly usable on Shabbos, delicious. So why can't Gamliel take it off? It's not mukta at all. Why was he machmer? So the Gemara says kishehidbish. Rabban Gamliel was talking about a case where the honey had spoiled. Rashi said so since it's spoiled, it's now considered mukta. So the Gemara says if it was spoiled, then why was Rabban Gamliel bothering to carry it? Hidbish the maichazit. So what was the use for? Why was he bothering to carry it in the first place? So why did he even have it before Shabbos if it's carrying spoiled honey? The Gemara answers so like kisasa digmale. So it apparently was a type of refua. This type of spoiled thing was a refua for the animal. So since a refua for the animal, it's going to be something that's mukta mitzad medication. And since it's medication, we know we made to tochen and come to grind it. It would apply apparently to this animal's thing as well. So the Gemara says, "Biyater chavalem pil palusakim," because Rabban Gamliel has a better method. Why shouldn't you just loosen the ropes and allow the sacks containing the honey to fall down? And in that case, that would be tiltum atzad, and it's only causing it indirectly to move, and that would be fine. So the Gemara says, "Mitzru zike." The sacks would have split open, and the honey would have been ruined had he done that. So the Gemara, like the wind, right? The wind, zike usually is referred to wind. So you would have that. That would be the problem. Gemara says, "Viyavi karem excessus v'aniach tachteam." We should have just put pillows and cushions. Why didn't he have the thing of Rav Huna? So the Gemara answers, "Mitanfe." The pillows and cushions would have become ruined. Mikvata kumichano, and since they would have been ruined, at least it would become dirty, right? The mitanfe usually become dirty. So if they're going to become dirty, then what's going to happen? And we're going to assume that's a problem of mivata kumichano because the whole rest of the day, Rashi points out, is not going to be usable. So then he was machmer for that. So the Gemara says, "Vayika tarba lechem." But wait a second. How could he? Wasn't it bothered? There's an isha deraisa of tzar balei chayim to make an animal suffer. The fact that he left it there all of Shabbos, and ended up dying from it. He was holding that. How could it be that he wouldn't put it onto the pillows and cushions to just do the isha derabanan as opposed to doing an isha deraisa of violating the animal being in tremendous pain. So now the Gemara suggests, the Gemara says, Kasavar Tzabalachayim Darbanu, that the whole issue of Tzabalachayim, of of Tzar Balei Chayim, the animal being in pain, is only an Isser Derabbanan, in which case he has two Isser Derabbanans at play. So I guess he didn't want to do the more active Isser Derabbanan. But what comes out, though, if you hold, there's a Machlokas and Bava Metzia, but we hold that Tzar Balei Chayim is Doraisa. So the Gemara clearly implied that if Tzar Balei Chayim is Doraisa, then you would have the heter of violating Vata Chimei Chano in order not to violate Tzar Balei Chayim. That is, in fact, what some Achronim want to suggest. I think that is a shayla, though the Mishnah Berurah is mesuplak about the la'alacha, whether we can assume that way, whether Kuvatel the Isser Derabbanan for Tzar Balei Chayim, and which Isser Derabbanan was the only certain ones. That's a very big shayla, and also maybe active where you did the Tzar Balei Chayim, the animal's just suffering stam, there's no Isser Derabbanan for you if you didn't do it. So that's a whole shayla, but that comes up. So the Gemara now says, Abai Ashachay Lei L'Rabba. So Abai, once a Rabba, the Kamashashay Lei L'Brei, Agava D'Charma. So he once saw that he was having his son go down from his back off a donkey on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how are you on a donkey? Amar Leia, Abaye said to him, Kam Mishtamish Bar Balei Chayim, you're using an animal on Shabbos. We know that using an animal, we learned earlier, is going to be either Esther or Abanan to ride animals, to touch animals, really. So there are Muktzah, so Shaila about walking a dog and things like that on Shabbos. Is a dog probably Muktzah? So either way, though, the animal is Muktzah. Why is that? Because we're afraid that if you ride an animal on Shabbos, you're going to come to do Melach of Kotzer, to tear off a branch of a tree. So that is also the same thing, but we're going to see the hamjach about a tree. The same thing with the tree itself. A tree is muktzah on Shabbos, so it's a shayla about a hammock. Things like that are seemingly problematic. But either way, that the tree itself is also muktzah because we're afraid we're going to climb the tree and come to do the malacha of kotzer as well. So over here, how is it that you came down and touched the animal? So Rabbi responded, Amar Leih, it's thud in hand. I'm only using the sides of the donkey when he was sliding him down on the donkey. I didn't touch the donkey itself. Tzadin lo gazer rabbanan on the sides of the donkey is not an isser at all to use. There was never an isser rabbanan according to Rabbah. So meaning his son wasn't actually on the donkey, he was just sliding him down the sides. That's what the Gemara is assuming. So the Gemara now says, though, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya for this. How could we have a proof for Rabbah, what Rabbah did? It's not, yeah, we do. From the mission tells us, matir chavalim, masak and oflim, that if you under the ropes that hold a muktzah, so we said the sacks fall down on their own. So the Gemara says, "My love, bechever gavalki." So what type of sacks is the Mishnah referring to? Isn't that top of the type of saddlebags? These two saddlebags, Rashi points out, that they're connected by ropes and they pass over the donkey's back, where they were you made a knot and they were together. And over here, in such a case, we see that you would not lean on the donkey, and therefore it's going to be mutter to be matter the chavalim. So we're assuming over here to have a late studying, in which case that would be similar to the case of the sides. So the Mishnah is preparing to use studen of the sides of the animal in this case. Because again, you're removing the things from the animal itself, and that seems to be a raya from this Mishnah, seems to be a raya for me. So the Gemara says, no, this isn't a proof. Lo, bechaver, let's do your kirses, al gilfayr, or gal vilkai. So either way, the Mishnah is referring to, we're suggesting now, we're referring to untied saddlebags that are really only held together by the thing on the top. And these saddlebags, Rashi points out, so the pin only requires a small thing to undo it. In this case, it can't be compared to your case about the studim. The law of it, studim, in that case, it's way less comparable to the case of studim, as you wanted to suggest. So inami, the Gemara says, alternative, you could say, bilechta, we're talking about it had some sort of a clip. So each rope chain, there was different clips tied together, and they had a wooden chip that was put into it in each chain, and therefore, this case again would be showing that it's different, as opposed to your case, which is more active. So therefore, we see that you don't have a raya from the Mishnah. Now Abaye says, even Akasha, this Esive, Abaye has Akasha from the Mishnah. Shtayim bi de adam v'achas bi ilan. If there was two walls of a sukkah that are made, one is formed by a tree, kshira v'enol elam b'yontav. It's going to be kasher, but one is not allowed to go on it on yontav. The Gemara was assuming right now, again, the sukkah needs three walls, and one of your walls you're using is the tree wall. So what's, you're going to come to climb the tree, and you're going to come to climb the tree, that would be Isser of using the tree over here. So now, so therefore we're going to say that it's Usser. So the Gemara now says, so my love, did dachik beba ilan, aren't we talking about a case that you carved a hole into the tree and you put in the walls over there to the holes of the tree, and then you're using them as a roof on the side of the sukkah, davlet stud, in which case Abaye says that case of the Mishnah and sukkah seems to be a case of the sides of a tree. Now if the Mishnah is saying that it's usher to go in the sukkah because you're going to make use of it and then you're going to come to climb the tree, so we see that stud in usher, and that using the sides is going to be usher fundamentally on Shabbos, and that's a raya against Rabbah. So the Gemara says, no, the kaifal ilan v'anaf sikuch, we're talking a case tree, bent the tree over to the actual wall itself, in which case you would have the Mekabesh Le'ilam. You're actually using the use of the tree, and not just the studim, and you're not just using the sides, you're actually making use of the tree itself. So we see over here that according to the Mishnah, it must be a case where the schach is directly on the tree, and that's what's going on in the Mishnah. Magar says, but if that's the case where the schach is directly on the tree, that we hachi, if that's the case, the hemshech of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Shalosh b'de adam achas b'ilan, if you have three walls that are made by a man, and one is by the tree, since you only need three walls fundamentally, the fourth is only you don't even need it, it's really chumra, whatever, you want to say that you don't need the fourth wall, so then it's mutter to go on in a yontif. But in the case that the rabbi wanted to assume the Mishnah was talking about, where you bent the tree over and it's now directly on it, amai olin b'yontif, but still though, why would we be allowed to go on in a yontif? The fourth side of the schach is on the tree itself, and you're making use of the schach is from the tree, and so you're still using the tree though. So the Gemara says, the Elamai studin asurin. So now you want to assume that studin are going to be asur. So you want to say that studin should be asur. If that's the case, though, so then the Mishnah over here talking about the schach, though. So amai olin labiyontov. So then, if studin are asur, then why would you be allowed? Last case, the Mishnah, even not according to Rabbah, though, you'd be allowed to go out on an yontov. It should be asur even according to you, because at the end of the day, if studin are asur, it should be you're making use of the fourth side of the tree. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a kasha. Elahasim begavza parchsina. That the fourth wall over there, that we're talking, it's very thick, and since it can be used as a wall, you're not necessarily going to be using the actual tree itself. The tree itself is going to be used as a wall, and therefore not supporting the schach. Therefore, he makes use of the schach, and therefore you're not going to be entering the sukkah. The Gemara says that can happen. We could also make a deal from the Mishnah. This is the case. Is that klal kol ilan shenita leilan v'yochol amod olin labiyomtov. So we say Shmamina, so the Mishnah itself said the lashon that it can be removed from the schach and it can stand by itself. We see from here that the fact that you're allowed to enter the sukkah in this case, that is why it's going to be mutter. So it comes out over here, the Mishnah is referring to the wall formed by the tree itself, and that would not be an issue according to Rabbah's views. Okay, but Mitzvah Hashem will pick up with the Lema Pit tonight and Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.